Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Chaf Beis, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, two lines from the bottom, Ibayilhu. We actually find in the Rishonim two approaches how to understand the Ibaya, the question that the Gemara is about to pose. We are going to first explain the question according to the opinion of the Rashbam, which is the way we're going to learn the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, and then we'll repeat also the opinion of other Rishonim. We know, as we have learned, when Eretz Yisrael was divided, it was actually divided in two separate ways. One, it was divided to the various Shvatim, and then it was divided after each Shevet, that its share, they divided that share amongst the families of that Shevet. And the question that the Gemara now will pose, according to the Rashbam, is the shears, the Shvatim, that Eretz Yisrael was divided to 12 Shvatim, was it divided in 12 equal shears, or was it divided according to the amount of members that there were in a Shevet? And therefore, a Shevet that had more members would have received a larger piece of land versus a Shevet that has less members and will receive a smaller piece of land. That is the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara. There are Rishonim, and the Gemara, according to the Rashbam, indeed will teach us that Eretz Yisrael was divided into 12 equal pieces of land for the 12 Shvatim, and then each portion that each Shevet got was then divided according to the families in that Shevet. The difficulty with this Pshat, obviously, is that it seems to be very unfair that a Shevet that had more members in it should get a piece of land equal in size to Shevet with less members in that Shevet. And in fact, I saw that the Mefarshim grapple with this question and try to understand why was that this case. And I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that, as it is, when Eretz Yisrael was being divided and everybody's going to get an equal piece of land, that was according to that amount of people that were in the Shvatim at that time. But we know that that is not what will remain. It's a fluid situation. And a Shevet that has less members now can have a population growth and have many members in the future, or vice versa. A large Shevet could end up having less members. So no matter what we'll do, we can never make it perfect. And that's why it was divided into 12 equal pieces of land. Another pshat I saw that the Mefarshim suggest is that there's a tremendous lesson being taught here. The lesson that's being taught here is, this was the first experience Klal Yisrael was having in owning land, to be real landowners. And what we were being taught was that you can't always have the same as someone else, and that you need to be satisfied with what you have. So yes, perhaps the families of one Shevet ended up having more than the families of another Shevet, but that's exactly what the lesson is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everybody what they're supposed to have. However, as I said, there are three Shaynim that have a different approach and understanding of our Gemara's question. And they say that certainly the land was divided. A larger Shevet got a larger piece of land than a smaller Shevet. The question that the Gemara now is asking, however, is that, as we're going to learn the Gemara, Eretz Yisrael was divided by Goyrel and Urim V'Tumim. And the question is, that Gemara is asking, was only the division amongst the Shvatim done that way, but the division amongst the families was not done that way, or is even the division of the families within the Shevet done Api Goyro? Others say a variation of this Pshat of the Rishonim, that certainly just like the land, as it was divided amongst the Shvatim, was divided by Goyro, so too the land as it was divided amongst the families was also divided by Goyel. And the Gemara's question, however, is, as we're going to learn, there was the Ur V'tumim was also involved in the division of the land. And the Gemara's question is, was the Ur V'tumim only used regarding the division amongst the Shvatim, or was the Ur V'tumim also used for the division amongst the families? But again, as I said earlier, we're going to Mitzvah Shem explain the Gemara according to the opinion of the Rashbam. Sibaylu, and therefore the Gemara asked the following question: Eretz Yisrael, Shvatim Iflug, was Eretz Yisrael divided amongst the Shvatim 12 equal shares for the 12 Shvatim? Adom L'Karf Gavri Iflug, it was divided by the amount of people there were, and therefore a larger Shevet got a larger piece of land than a smaller Shevet. Toshma, the Pasuk says, Bein Rav Lamat. The Pasuk says there were larger portions and smaller portions, which seems to be mean that the land was divided equally, and after the land was divided equally, some people, because they lived in they were part of a larger shevet, got smaller pieces, and some people got larger pieces because they were members of smaller shvatim. Vaitanya, furthermore, there's a braisa that corroborates this way of learning. Asida Eretz Yisrosh Tzchalk L'Shloises Neshvatim. We're going to learn, the Gemara will explain this price some more later, that the soul will actually be divided up amongst 13 Shvatim. Shevetchila Nitzchalka El Shnei Masa Shvatim originally was divided amongst 12 Shvatim. Vilay Nitzchalka El Bekesef. The way it was divided by compensation. As we're going to explain later, if somebody got a better piece of land and somebody got a weaker piece of land, the way it was divided was the person who got a weaker piece of land was compensated by money. Shnemar bein Ra'av Lamat. Compensation between somebody getting a greater or smaller or lesser value piece of property was done with paying compensation. Amar Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda indeed says, Sab Yehuda, a piece of property that was only the size of Yehuda of a saw in Yehuda is equal in value to Shavachom Esolim Begolo. Two ways of understanding this. One is, as we're going to learn later in our shir, property in Yehuda was closer to Yerushalayim, and property to closer to Yerushalayim is more valuable, or because property in Yehuda was just better and it gave better fruit. Furthermore, V'leneschalka el begoyrel. Eretz Yisrael was only divided through a goyrel. Shnema ach begoyrel. V'leneschalka el be'ur metumim. It was also divided with the ur metumim. Shnema api ha-goyrel. Ha-ketzad. And the question, as the Rishonim explained, that the Gemara is trying to reconcile, is here it says that it was done through goyrel. And then it says it was done through ur metumim. So how was it divided? Through the goyrel or through ur metumim? Says the Gemara, a Lazar Melubish Urim V'tumim. A Lazar was wearing the Urim V'tumim. And the Gemara in Masecht Erevin teaches us that Moshe Rabbeinu had instructed Yeshua that a Lazar would assist him. However, because a Lazar taught Klal Yisrael the halachas of Geulei Kelim, of how to kasher without the permission of Moshe, what happened was Moshe Rabbeinu, Elazar was never consulted by Yeshua. However, Tosfos explains, Elazar was never consulted by Yeshua in a situation of halacha question. Moshe Rabbeinu was, Yeshua was always able to answer those questions on his own. But here we're not referring to halacha question. Here we're actually referring to a situation of Ruach HaKodesh, where the Urim V'tumim was needed for Ruach HaKodesh. In such a situation, Elazar was indeed included. Elazar was wearing the Urim V'tumim. The Yeshua V'chol Yisrael, I'm in front of Yeshua and all Klal Yisrael, was standing there. The Klapish Shel Shvatim, the Klapish Shel Tchumim, Menachem Lefanav, and they had a box with the names of the Shvatim, and a box with the names of the various regions of Eretz Yisrael, Menachem Lefanav, standing there, And Elazar made a determination with Ruach HaKodesh. Vaymer, Zvulun Oyla. We are now going to choose the area, the region, which will belong to Zvulun. Tchum Akoy Oyli Imai. And Elazar and Zvul will get his share. And Akoy. Tar Beklapas Shashvatim. And then he stirred the backs that had the names of the Shvatim. Vola B'yad Zvulun. And indeed the name Zvulun came up. Tar Beklap Shotchumim, and then he put his hand, stirred the backs that had in it the names of the regions, Valbiyodatchum Akai, and Akai came up. So what he said, Ruach HaKodesh, was actually corroborated. The Rashbam asks, why did he have to draw Tulats every time, instead of just calling out the name of the Shevet? And after calling out the name of the Shevet, he should stick his hand into the backs with the various regions, and that and then the region that that Shevet would be getting would come to him. Answers the Rashbam that since the Torah uses the words Ach Begoyro, the Torah insists that the entire division of Eretz Yisrael be done through Goyro. And the way that's done is that you have to have a Goyro not only identifying the region that the Shevet will get, but you also need a Goyro to identify which Shevet we are now going to be allocating a share to. The Rashash points out that it wasn't actually 12 shares that were divided, it was really 9.5. Because as we know, that Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe got their share in Eivra Yarden, and they weren't included in this Goyro. Furthermore, I saw a Medrash that the Medrash says that the Pasuk, we just quoted the Pasuk actually, that says Api HaGoyro, the Pasuk is teaching us that the Goyro itself, Chiddush, the Goyro itself as it was chosen would make an announcement, this is the land that belongs to this. This is the land that will be going to this and this Shevet. Another interesting point that the Mefarshim make, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem Menois Chelki V'Koisi Ata Tomech Gairoli. That what the Pasuk is teaching us is Ata Tomech Gairoli, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the Gairol was supported by Hashem and Nois Chelki, by what the Goyrel and the Urim Tumim representing Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, each supported each other to come to the same conclusion. Then the Gemara, the Braisa continues in how the Goyrel worked. And again, he continued with Ruach HaKodesh for Omer Naftali Ayla. We will now choose the Goyrel for Naftali. V'tchum Gnoiser Oyli Mai, and the region of Gnoiser came up with Naftali's Goyrel. Tar B'klapas Shashvatim, he put his hand, stirred up the backs that had the names of the Shvatim, V'ol B'yod Naftali. And Tar B'klapas Shatchumim, and then he put his hands into the backs to identify the different regions, V'ol B'yod Tchum Gnoiser, and the region of Gnoiser came up. V'kein Kol Shevet V'Shevet. The Mefarshim discuss why does the Brises pick the Goyrolis of Zvulun and Naftali. So some say that there's really no rhyme or reason, and that's exactly the lesson of this Gemara, that there is no specific rhyme or reason to how Eretz Yisrael was divided. It was divided according to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be divided. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that Zvulun got his share on the east side, and Naftali got his share on the west side. And the lesson of the Gemara is that they got shares on the different sides of Eretz Yisrael. There was, and still the Goyrel was perfectly accurate. Says the Braisa further, V'loike chalukah sh'olam hazeh, chalukah sh'olam haba. Not will the division in this world be like the division in Olam Haba. The Farshim say when we speak about Olam Haba, there are actually going to be two stages. There's going to be a stage which is called Yemois HaMashiach, which is the time that our Gemara is referring to. And then there's going to be a time of Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, there's not going to be any Gashmis. Al Tzadikim Yoshev Nenim Biziv Ashchina. So at that time, that is not the time that our Gemara is referring to. Our Gemara is referring to the time of Mashiach, when people will still have material needs, and our Gemara is explaining what everybody will receive during that time. Says the Gemara, like a chalukah shalom haza, chalukah shalom haba. Olam haza, in this world, adam sheesh le'sodom lover, you have a person who has a grain field, and we saw the pardis, but he doesn't have an orchard. You have a person that has a saw the pardis, and we saw the love, and he has an orchard, but he doesn't have a grain field. Lailam Haba, and the Ailam Haba, Eilakal Kal Echav Echad, every individual will have everything. Shainloi, every individual will have a portion that will have in it. Har mountains, Shveil is valley, Amik is a ravine, he'll have every type of land. Shnema, as the pasuk says, Shra Ruven Echad, Shra Yehud Echad, Shra Levi Echad. All the different portions will all be the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mechalek Lem Ba'atzmai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the one that give every portion, everybody their share. Shnema, Ve'ele Machlakaisam Num Hashem. Hashem himself will divide it. Ketanimis. But what does this brisa say? That it was divided equally amongst 12 shvatim. Shmamina, going back to the question that we began our shir with, how was Eretz Yisrael divided? It was divided equally amongst 12 shvatim. Shmamina, that question is answered. So goes the Gemara further to analyze what we learned in the brisa. Amamar, Asida Eretz Yisrael should tchalik l'shnei masa shvatim. Eretz Yisrael will divide it amongst 13 Shvatim. So the Rishonim explain that how will it be divided when Mashiach comes? That unlike the original division, which was 12 portions to Menashe and Ephraim being divided into two Shvatim, and Shevet Levi not getting any share, when Mashiach comes, this is the way most Rishonim learn, Menashe and Ephraim will be recombined into one Shevet. Shevet Yosef and Shevet Levi will get the 12th Chelek. And now our Gemara will discuss who will get the 13th Chelek. Din Yaakov explains why will it be different when Mashiach comes, that Shevet Levi will get a shear and Menashe and Ephraim will be recombined into one shear. So he explains, as we're going to learn in our shir tomorrow, that in this world we need to see the power of Shevet Yosef to prove that Yaakov Avinu was a Bechor, and Shevet Yosef is the Shevet that could prevail over Esav. But when Mashiach comes, there will no longer be a need for Yaakov to prove that he's the Bechor, for us to be able to prevail over Esav. And therefore, Menashe and Ephraim will be able to be recombined into one Shevet. But then I saw the Mepharshim ask, that how can we suggest that Shevet Levi will get a shear when Mashiach comes? Isn't there a pasuk in the Torah, Lo yila kahanim ulevim kol Shevet Levi chelik v'nachlam Yisrael v'nachlam lo yila b'kerev echov? So the Torah says that Shevet Levi is not allowed to get a shear, and as we know, the Torah also says Eila HaMitzvos, that a core part of our belief is that when Mashiach comes, the mitzvahs will remain the same. So if there's a mitzvah that Shevet Levi is not supposed to get a shear, how will that change when Mashiach comes? So I saw from Rav David Pivarsky a teretz. What he says is that the pasuk is saying that Shevet Levi is not allowed to take a shear, take away property from someone else. Here, what's going to happen is they're not going to be taking away property from someone else. Rather, he's going to be getting his own property. And since he's going to be getting his own property, the halacha is that property indeed belongs, that will be mutter to be given to Shevet Levi. And therefore, Shevet Levi, Eretz Yisrael, will be divided into 12 halakim for the 12 shvatim. And now the Gemara is asking who will get the 13th Chelek. The Ran, however, because of these questions, has a different way of understanding the Gemara. And according to the opinion of the Ran, The Gemara here is referring to Yerushalayim, where there will be, there are sha'arim, there are gates into entering Yerushalayim, and Shevet Levi will have his own gate. But that's Yisrael proper will remain divided, with Menashe and Ephraim getting two shares, and Shevet Levi not getting a share. So continues the Gemara, Idach Laman, who will get the 13th share? Amar Chizdel Nasi, that will go to the Nasi. The Ksiv, for Oyved Ha'ir Yavdua, and the call shift to Yisrael, that all of the Shvatim will give a share to the Oyved Ha'ir, the Nasi who's their servant. As we know, leadership of Klal Yisrael is really a job, and he will get a share. Amalei Rapapa Labaya Eimer Rugna Ba'alma, maybe they're going to give him, maybe what the pasuk means is that they will give him workers to help him, but not that they'll give him actually a share of Eretz Yisrael. So tomorrow, lo yisakadat tiksiv for noisel nasi mezem mezel trumas hakodesh lachuza seir. He's going to get a chuza seir, a share in Eretz Yisrael. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Brisa for neskalka el ksofim that compensation was paid to even out the different quality of land that they got. Shnemar, as the pasuk says, barat lamat. Ask the Gemara Lamai, what does it mean that compensation was paid? Ilay malushufra v'sanya, that one person got a piece of better piece of land, and another got a weaker piece of land, and the way it was compensated was by paying. Ask the Gemara otav shuftani eskinen, and I saw two pshatim how to understand the Gemara's question. The simple way of understanding the Gemara's question, the Rashbam explains this way, is that here we're talking about the division of Eretz Yisrael, which is going to remain for all generations. So somebody willing just to take a few dollars to compensate for a weaker, smaller piece of property, is there any money that can compensate? It's one way to Mefarshim learn. Another way to Mefarshim learn is that if all the Brice is coming to teach us is that this compensate, that if we want to even it out, and the way we even it out is through payment of money, that's obvious that if two people want to make a deal with each other, they could compensate each other with money. We don't need the Brisa to teach us that. What must the Brisa be coming to teach us? L'kroiva u'rechaika. That if one person got a piece of property closer to Yerushalayim, and another person got a piece of property further from Yerushalayim, and as the Rishonim explained, there are two benefits in having a piece of property close to Yerushalayim. One is that it's close to Yerushalayim, and the second is that it's further from the border, which is a more dangerous place. So if one person got a piece of property close to Yerushalayim, and one person got a property further from Yerushalayim, the way it was compensated for was through payment. And in fact, the Pesach can say, from Al Gemara we see that if two brothers are dividing Yerusha and they're two pieces of property, one is more valuable than the other, so the brother who's going to get the more valuable piece of property suggests the way it should be even out is through payment. The other brother could say, no, Vishuftani, is payment going to be a fair way to compensate? You have to give me a piece of the better piece of property. Says Gemara Ketanoi, actually this question of how the compensation was done is a machlok tanoim. Rabbi Lazar b'kesef halua, compensation was done through money. Rabbi Shuam b'karka halua, it was done actually by giving pieces of property, because money, as we explained, is not really a fair way to do compensation. In fact, I saw a very nice vort from the Netziv. The Netziv makes the following observation. In Parshas Masai, when the Torah details how Eretz Yisrael was divided by all the Nasim, it says the words Lamata B'nei, Lamata B'nei Asher, Lamata B'nei Ruvein, except by Yehuda and Binyamin. There it says the words Lamata without including the words Lamata B'nei. And he points out why, and explains very interestingly. He says, as Al Gemara just taught us, a piece of property near Yerushalayim is more valuable than other pieces of property. So in the other Shvatim, when the Nasi of the Shevet divided the Shevet and took shares in the property on behalf of all of the members of the Shevet, We had a situation that they also were taking property perhaps for ketanim who were yarshim. And those ketanim would be dissatisfied given that those pieces of property were so far away from Yerushalayim. And that's why the Torah says, Lamata b'nei. They, with their authority as Nesiim, had the right to take this property on behalf of these people, even though they're not really that happy with that property, given that it's so far away from Yerushalayim. However, Yehuda ben Yamin, who, as we know, their property was, their chelik was right next to Yerushalayim, so the members of their shevet had nothing to be upset about, and therefore there was no special authority that they needed to use to get their shares, and that's why the Torah uses the word lamata without the b'nei. There's a very interesting chasam sofer based on this gemara. The chasam sofer makes an observation. He says when this division in the times of Yeshua took place, they weren't even yet aware that Yerushalayim would be the Makom HaMikdash. And if they weren't aware that Yerushalayim was going to be the Makom HaMikdash, how could they divide and pay or whatever, compensate, when they don't even know the value of Yerushalayim? It wasn't identified until hundreds of years later. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, at that time, it was divided according to Mishkan Shiloh, whatever was closer or further from Mishkan Shiloh. But then, says the Chasam Sofer, years later, when Eretz Yisrael was, when Yerushalayim was actually identified to be the Makom HaMikdash and the most desirable location at Yisrael, compensation had to be paid now for people who were further or closer to Yerushalayim. And actually, the Chasam Sofer uses this to answer a shaila, to deal with a question that was posed to him. There was a shul that we know that the important places, the important seats in the shul are along the wall of the Aron HaKodesh. And there was a shul that had six seats to the right of the Aron HaKodesh and six seats to the left of the Aron HaKodesh. And that is shul, those seats were expensive seats, they were bought by people to have the rights to have those seats. Now the shul went through an extension, and now there were nine seats to the right of the Aron HaKodesh and nine seats to the left. Says the Chasam Sofer, certainly the three people who previously were the three people on the right and on the left, sitting closest to the Aron HaKodesh, remain in those seats closest to the Aron HaKodesh. The question came up with the three people who originally were sitting in the three further seats to the right and the left of the Aron HaKodesh, where do they sit now? Those people, the people who were sitting in those seats, said, we want to remain in our seats. The people in the administration of the shul said, no, you always had the seats that were furthest from the Aron HaKodesh. Now that we have new seats that are further from the Aron HaKodesh, you should take those three seats that are furthest from the Aron HaKodesh on the right and on the left, and the three seats in the middle are the new seats that should now be able to be sold, auctioned to whoever want them. And there was a debate. And the question was posed to the Chasam Sofer. Paskin to Chasam Sofer, based on our Gemara, that they could remain in those seats, those people. But those seats now became more valuable seats. Because originally those seats were the furthest seats from the Aron HaKodesh, and now those seats are no longer the seats that are furthest from Aron HaKodesh. And just like says the Chasam Sofer, when Yerushalayim was identified to be Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, the Makom HaMikdash, the people who originally got shares of land near Yerushalayim had to compensate those who were further. Here too, you could keep those seats, but you have to now pay the shul for the extra value that those seats now have. Furthermore, says the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa of Leneschalke El Begoyrel, that Yisrael was only divided through a Goyrel, Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Ach Begoyrel. Tana Ach Begoyrel, Yotzi Yeshuva Kalev, it comes to exclude Yeshuva Kalev, that they weren't included in the Goyrel. Lamai. What does it mean that they weren't included in the Goyrel? Ilam de lo shakel klal, if it means that they didn't receive anything, as the Gemara, hash to the lavdud who shakel, now that they didn't, that not only did they receive the portions that didn't belong to them, as we learned earlier, they got the shears of the Meraglim and the Meslaynanim, the Tumaboy. Is there a question that they got their own shears? Says the Gemara, what the Braisa means to say is, like not with a Geirel, LP Hashem. Unlike everyone else got through a Geirel, they got a P Hashem. Yeshua the Ksiv, a P Hashem, Nosun Lo Yaseir Hashashol. He got through Hashem directly, the city that requested, as Timnas Serach Bahar Ephraim. Ask the Gemara, Ksiv Serach, the Ksiv Cheres. One pasuk calls it Serach, and one pasuk calls it Cheres. What is it? Amar Belezer, Sir Belezer says, B'tchila Peresek Cheres. Before Yeshua inherited this property, the Peres was dry as earthenware. But after Yeshua took ownership of this property, Peresem Masrichim, the Peres was so rich that they would rot if they were left out too long. The juice in it would begin to rot. V'kedamri, on the contrary, v'tchila masrichim, before Yeshua took ownership of this land, the peiros would rot. V'psoif, at the end, kecheres, the peiros would remain for a long time. So I saw from the Gra that he says a beautiful pshat and how to explain this machloikis. Was it cheres and then serach, or serach and then cheres? He says there's a machloikis tanoim in Masech the Trumas regarding Hafrosh's Truma. What is better to take? A half of a good onion or a whole weaker onion? So one Tana says that it's better to take a whole onion, even though it's not such a good quality, because a whole thing lasts longer. The other man, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, says it's better to take a half of a good onion because it's a better onion. Says the Gra, that is the machloikis in our Gemara. The first pshat, the first lashon, holds that a better thing is better. And therefore he says, first it was cheres, and then it was masrichim. So even though it rots quicker, but it's more delicious. The second lashon, the Ked Amri, says, we'd rather look at something that lasts longer. Just like we'd rather take the whole onion, even though it's not the same good quality, but a whole thing lasts longer. And when we're looking at the quality, what we should be looking for, we should be looking for something that lasts longer. Kalev, the Ksiv, v'yitun l'kalev, as chevron kashadiba ma'ishiv yars m'shem shloish bnei anek. Kalev got chevron without a girl either. Ask the Gemara, how could have Kalev received Chevron in Miklat Havoy? Isn't Chevron in Miklat, which belongs to the Levium? Answers the Gemara, Amabai Pravo, the suburbs around Chevron. The Ksiv, Estei Ivas Katsurea, Nosmul Kalev, Ben Yefuna Bechuzosoi, he received the suburbs. So Al Gemara clearly teaches us that Eretz Yisrael was divided by Goyrel. And the Rishonim teach us, based on this Gemara, that a Geirel is an effective means of doing a division. However, there's a very fundamental machloikas Rishonim. The Rambam, and this is the opinion of most Rishonim, learn like we just said, from our Gemara we see the effectiveness of a Geirel. Even though I did see that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein quotes the Sefer Nachal Yitzchak, who says Pshat in a Taz, and Pshat and the Nesivis, the where is a Goyrel a really preferable means of division? The cases that we've been discussing, where there are two pieces of property, and we want to decide who should get what, the Goyrel is the way to decide. But a Goyrel, suggests the Sefer Nachal Yitzchak, is not such an effective means in a situation where it's not two pieces to choose from. In other words, the situation was where there was one piece available of something, and it's not a divisible piece, and the question is who should get that piece? Should it rely on a Geirel? Then the Nachal Yitzchak says perhaps a Geirel is not such a great way of making a decision. However, the Rosh and the Tor say that a goyer was only effective in the division of Eretz Yisrael, for as we learned earlier, the division of Eretz Yisrael wasn't only done through a goyer. There was also the Urim V'Tumim. And therefore, only with his Urim V'Tumim is a goyer effective. Without that, the goyer is not effective. And therefore, the Rosh and the Torah say that if someone were to rely on a goyer to do a division, to make the goyer effective, a kinyan has to be done after the goyer is accomplished. And I saw that this Machloikas Rishonim came up regarding the following question, which is discussed in the Shaila HaTshuvos Mari HaLevi Me'itinga, who was a nephew of the Shaila Meshev. There was a person who passed away, and this person who passed away was a collector of Judaica. And in his estate, there was one Kiddush cup, which was an extremely valuable Kiddush cup. It was an ancient cup. There was another cup, which was quite valuable, not as valuable as the first. And then there were other assets in the estate. This person left over six sons. So they divided it, they first divided up the estate in the following way. One son would get that very expensive Kiddush cup. Another son would get the less expensive Kiddush cup. And then they divided up the rest with money or other assets into four pieces. And a goyer was made. Reuven was the winner, and he got the very expensive Kiddush cup. Shimon was next. He got the next Kiddush cup. And then the four other brothers got the four other pieces. Years later, it was discovered that there was a mix-up. And these two Kiddush cups that looked very similar, Reuven ended up getting the second, not the most valuable Kiddush cup, and Shimon was the one that got the most valuable Kiddush cup. And when this was discovered, Reuven comes to Shimon and says, there was a mistake made here, and it should be corrected. You give me the cup that you got, and I'll give you the cup I got. So certainly, say the Paiskim, if we follow the opinion of the Rambam and most Rishonim, that a goyer on its own is an effective means of division. So here there was a simple mistake made, and it needs to be corrected. But the question is, according to the Rosh and the Torah, that say that a kinyan is made to effect the division. And here indeed a kinyan was made after the goyer was done. Will that create a situation that since the kinyan was made, that is what should be followed? Or do we say that that kinyan is not, that the kinyan was also based on an erroneous goyer and they have to return it? The Paiskim Paskin, that avada the kinyan was made erroneously and everything should be returned. Says the Mishnah, Echra ben ve'echra bas benachla, both a son and a daughter inherit from the father. El Sheben, Noitel Pishnaim Benichsiyov. If the son is a Bechor, he gets Pishnaim. Veina Noitel Pishnaim Benichsiyam. In a father's estate, a Bechor gets a double portion, but not in a mother's estate. Vabonois, furthermore, daughters are supported Minichsiyav, from the father's estate until they get married. Veina Nizonis Benichsiyam, but not for the mother's estate. There's an interesting Machloikus Rishonim. When our Mishnah teaches us the daughters are not supported from the mother's estate, certainly it means mezoinus, support. The question that comes up is, what about marrying them off? Is there tura halacha that it's strictly the father's estate that's responsible for marrying them off? Or other rishonim suggest that as far as mezoinus, as far as regular support, that's where only the father's estate is responsible, not the mother's estate. But when it comes to marrying them off, the mother's estate is also responsible. Ask the Gemara, my echra ben v'echra bas benachla. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that the son and daughters are both equal in inheritance? Ilema, if it means Yarsi Kadadi, that if somebody dies and he leaves sons and daughters, both sons and daughters Yarshin equally, that can't be. Because Atnan, we learned earlier at the beginning of Parakin and Mishnah, Ben Kaidan Labas, a son comes before the daughter. And Kol Yotzi Yirecha Shaben Kaidan Labas. So it can't mean that a ben and a bas Yashin equally. Sima Nafsham. Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchak, what our Mishnah is coming to teach us, is Hachi Kamer. Echer Aban, Vecher Abas, Noitlim Beroy Kabe Mokhsud. Even though, as we've learned, the halacha is that a ben and a, that by a bechor only gets b'muchzik what the father had when he passed away, but what accrues after the father's death, there the bechor does not get a double portion. Says the Gemara, when it comes to regular Yerusha, there the halacha is they don't only get Yerusha only from a son is not restricted to only getting property that the father had even at the time of death, but he even gets what comes to the father afterwards, and so too is the din if a daughter yashins. Ask the Gemara, Hanami Tanina, haven't we learned this already previously? We learned, B'nai Tzlofchad, not Lushloi Shechalok in Menachla. The B'nai Tzlofchad got three shears in Eretz Yisrael. Chelk of him, the share of the father, Tzlofchad, Shayim Yoyetz Mitzrayim, the Tzlofchad was from the Yoyetz Mitzrayim, V'chalkayim Echa B'nichzei Chayfer. And they also got a share in Chayfer, what Tzlofchad was supposed to get from his father, Chayfer. Now, Tzlofchad might have died before Chayfer, and still he got a share in Chayfer's estate, and now Tzlofchad's daughter is Yashindis. So our Mishnah clearly is teaching us that a daughter inherits property that came to him after he died. And as the Rishonim point out, we actually could have learned this halacha from the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says explicitly that Habon, that you get Yerusha, the Kol Yotzi Yirecha Shaben Kodem Labas, and that you get that the Ben gets everything. Just the Rashbam says that Mishnah want the Gemara prefer to ask the question from Tzlofchad, from the Beloy Tzlofchad, because there we see a Maisa Shahoya, we see an actual episode that was that way the halacha was followed. The Tosfos Rosh says a different answer to the Rashbam's question. He says that maybe we would explain that Mishnah is only referring to sons, that sons yarshin both muchzik and roi. How do we know that then also applies when daughters are the yarshim? That's why the Gemara brought the case of Tzlofchad. Void, furthermore, asked the Gemara, my Ella, what does the Mishnah mean when it says Ella, that a bechor gets a double portion by his father than his mother? If the first part of the Mishnah is talking about sons and daughters, then the next part of the Mishnah should also be talking about sons and daughters, not fathers and mothers. Ela amra papa hachikama. The way to understand the Mishnah is echer ben vechen abas noiten chelik bebechayra. That if somebody's father was a bechor and then they yarshin their father, so just like the father would have gotten double portion, no matter if it's a son or a daughter yashining a bechor, they will get the double portion that the father was supposed to get. As the Gemara, Hanami Tanina, Ham, we learned this also, for Shahoya Bechor, Tzlofchad's daughters received an extra portion because he was the bechor by Chayfer. So what is the Mishnah teaching us that we haven't learned? Void, my Elo. What is the word Elo? So the Mefarshim ask, we need to understand that the Gemara gave us Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's explanation in the Mishnah. And the Gemara asked two questions on that. One is that this din is a din that we learned. And furthermore, how do we understand Elo? So a Papa comes with a new explanation that doesn't help us in either way. It doesn't explain. It's also a din that we already previously learned. And the word Elo is also not to be understood. So what's with Papa helping? So there are a number of ways of explaining it. We'll explain the Gemara in the simplest way. It's not to be understood that Rav Papa was addressing Rav Nachman Yitzchok and saying, your explanation in the Mishnah is problematic, so I'm going to give a different explanation which is not problematic. They each said their own explanation independently, and each explanation that we're going to learn actually has the same question, that the din that they're saying is a din that we learned, and it also is a din that the word Ella will make sense. Ella Amar of Ashi, Hachkama. Echad ben Abonim. Both in the case with his sons amongst other sons. Vechad bas ben Abonim, with their daughters amongst other daughters. And Omar, if the father said before he died, Yirash kon chosei, that child should inherit my entire estate. Dvar of Kayamim. What he said is acceptable. Come on. Whose opinion is this? Rabbi Yochim Abreika. Haktani lekaman. But ask the Gemara, how are we going to learn Rabbi Yochim Abreika's opinion later? Because the Mishnah is going to teach us on Daf Kuf Lamid. Rabbi Yochim Abreika Omer. Im Oma Mishayir Rosh. Even though, as we have been learning and will continue to be learning, there's specific instructions how the Torah tells us an estate should be divided. If a father said on somebody who is supposed to be one of his Yarshim that he should take the entire estate, Dvar of Kayomim, it's stand. Amish any Yarl Rosh, but if he says it regarding somebody who is Bechlal, not his Yarish, and Dvar of Kayomim. Vechi Teima, and if you want to say, yes, we're going to learn Rabbi Yochim and Breika's opinion later, but the reason our Mishnah is teaching us this halacha is because Sosalonka Rabbi Yochim and Breika, because the Mishnah, we want to have a Stam Mishnah that follows the opinion of Rabbi Yochim and Breika, for we know that the halacha always follows a Stam Mishnah. This won't be a Stam Mishnah, because this will be in the category of Stam Vakach Machlokes. The Stam Vakach Machlokes, so we have a Stam Mishnah, but it's followed by a Mishnah that brings a Machlokes regarding the subject, then we don't have the rule that we follow the Stam. And Allah the Stam. Even though Rishonim point out, it doesn't mean that we don't follow this opinion, it just means that it doesn't have the power of a Stam Mishnah. Furthermore, ask the Gemara the same question. Ella, if the Mishnah is in the first part speaking about a son, what does it say the word Ella when it starts speaking about the mother and the father? This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Echad ben v'echad bas shoven b'nechsei ayin b'nechsei av. Both a son and a daughter are the yarshim of a mother's estate or a father's estate. Just as one difference, sheben noitel pishnayim b'nechsei av, a b'char gets a double portion in his father's estate, ve'en noitel pishnayim b'nechsei ayin, he does not get a double portion in his mother's estate.